You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please go to realchicago.com.
If you guys would with me, just jump into a little bit of tension for a moment. Normally, I don't like commenting on current events. I like to stick to Scripture and what it is that we're doing and where we're going. But as I've been walking through this sermon that we're going to start talking about culture today, and we're going to talk about art, and we're going to talk about many aspects of art, I was like, how do we transition into this? How do we do this, especially with what's going on right now in our culture? And what I want to do is I want to jump in for a second, and I want you guys, first of all, I need to ask you for grace, because when I start talking about what I'm going to talk about, some of you are going to move to immediately offense. And you're not even going to hear what I have to say. And that's because culture has programmed you to be offended with what I'm about to say. Scripture teaches us to listen and understand before we're understood. What we do is we go to God to try to explain to God who we are, and we want him to understand who we are rather than us understanding who he is first and then allowing who we are to be seen through that light. And so what I wanted to jump into today is I want to jump into this race conversation that we're having inside of our nation. And one of the things that I wanted to do is I think a lot of people spoke way too early. I think a lot of people shared some opinions way too fast. And I didn't want to comment on it because I wanted to sit in it. I wanted to look around. I wanted to see brothers and sisters who were injured and past hurts were brought up. I wanted to talk to them. And I think that it's just an interesting conversation I kind of want to have this morning with you guys. So if you guys would just graciously for a moment, just sit with me. I was talking to my brother. Some of you guys don't know who my brother is. He pastors a tiny church in California. It's only like 8,000 or something like that. And he and a bunch of other pastors in Southern California were called together to discuss race. And what is the response of the church to what's going on? And he and I were chatting, and we were having a conversation, and he was filling me in on the events of you get really loving, God-fearing people into a room, and you start talking about race, and it gets really uncomfortable really fast, and people start yelling at each other. It doesn't matter who you are. I mean, you can be the lead pastor of a massively huge church, but all of a sudden your fears start coming out. And what you're afraid might be said is what you're more interested in than what's actually being said. And he and I were talking and we're chatting back and forth, and it's been fun for me. My family is so looking forward to when we're out of this culture series, because I keep talking about culture constantly. And my brother and I, we were chatting, and I was just like, Matt, who benefits from racial tension in the United States of America? Who benefits? Who benefits? Do the whites benefit from racial tension? Do the blacks? Do the Hispanics? Whichever one you want, because if it's Latino one week, Hispanic the next week, who knows? Okay? Is it the Asians that benefit from racial tension? Who benefits from racial tension? There's some key people who benefit from racial tension. News media benefits from racial tension. If it bleeds, it, do you guys know that statement? Leads. If it bleeds, it leads. In other words, if it creates mass hysteria and panic, what are we going to put up? Because we can go to CNN right now, 24-hour, constantly just driving your anxiety and your fear and blowing it up and making it bigger than it really is. Who else benefits? Well, I would argue our politicians benefit because they step forward and say, hey, we're going to fix this. And let me pause for one moment. What have our politicians ever fixed? Don't listen to that lie, right? Don't listen to that lie. But what it does is it makes them be able to stand up and say, I'm here for you. In our city, we're the sanctuary city. But you know what? To our minority people in Chicago, is it a sanctuary for them as they're being killed on the streets? It is not a sanctuary in this city. Don't let anybody lie to you. It's not a sanctuary city where you're safe, where you're free to grow up and to learn and to live, to go to a school where you're safe, to cross a street and go into another neighborhood. Do not listen to the lies of this city. This city, we're a sanctuary city. Sanctuary for what? Death? Violence? Anger? Hate? But let's stop there. Let's go deeper. What is it that's really pulling at us? What is it that's really bringing us together? And a couple months back, someone asked me, said, Pastor Nathan, what is the ethnic makeup of your church? Look around and laugh for a moment. Just look around. Look around. You're going to see different colors. You know what? I see color. Let me admit that. I see color. You know why I see color? Because I have been pale and white for a long time, and I've always wanted to be tan. And a guy who has melanoma skin cancer, guess what? Can't ever get tan anymore. And some of you in this room are beautiful. And I wish I could go that direction. So I see color. What I don't see is I don't see inferiority. What I don't feel is superiority. The Apostle Paul says, I am the chief among sinners. I am the lowest of the low. I am the one that Jesus Christ needed to come back for. And his death rescued me. As Christians, we all fall on the floor of grace and look up together at a beautiful God. And there is no superiority. But let's walk into this just a little bit deeper. What's happening? What is, and I know I'm making it very simplistic, but what is the climate among humans that puts us into this place? So do your anthropology for a little bit. What people group has not ever enslaved another group that they've conquered or completely killed all of them? So just go through anthropology across the earth. You can even go to people groups to each other have done it. And then people groups have done it to other people groups. This is true in Asia. This is true in Africa. This is true in Europe. This is true in North America and in South America. I think Antarctica is the only place, okay, but I'm sure some penguins are just going at it or something. I have no idea. So there's a human condition. What's that human condition? Sin. But what is the sin? Let's pause for a moment. I present to you, it's envy. It's envy. It's, I want more. And not only do I want more, I want what you have because I feel inferior because you have a new, I'm sorry, Allison and Stephen, I'm so sorry. I'm jealous of your minivan. You have a newer minivan than I have, right? What is it that envy comes in? Oh, I'm upset. You have the newest Louis Vuitton bag. Oh my gosh. What is Tani, what's the yellow bag that you carry around? What's that one called? The Bargain? You have one of those, right? But what happens inside of us quickly is what? Envy. I don't have. And we go from envy to what? Anger. And some of us can catch that anger and we don't go to violence. We don't go to malice and we don't go to harm. Now, I present to you guys a couple things. Number one, I love my church. I love the faces that are in this room. I love that I actually sat down and tried to break out ethnically what we are. And I tried to write it out in percentages. And some of you guys skew the percentages because you're 3%. I love it. I love that I grow up in a time and a period of time where my friends are a menagerie of what it's going to be like when I am in heaven with Jesus Christ. I love that when in Revelation it says all tribes, all tongues, all nations are going to gather together and kneel down and praise Jesus. Okay? And there's not going to be a people group that gets the front row. Not going to work that way. What I present to you guys, especially when we go into art, especially when we go into movies, when we go into TV, culturally, you have to start paying attention to what's being fed to you. You need to be aware. Now, one of the things that I really love, okay, I love that my daughter gets to grow up in a time period where a girl can be a strong character and can be a hero in what is going on in a story. Do you guys understand how rare that is? Previous to Mockingjay and Bird and all the other stuff that we go through with the Hunger Games, bunch of girls not eating because they're afraid of their weight. No, that's not what it is. It's not the Hunger Games. Hunger Games is a girl who's going to dominate people. And she's going to protect her family, protect her sister, protect everything that's going on, and even the people in the game. And she shows her heart, and she also shows her talents and her abilities to do things that are amazing. But think previous to 1990. Think of a female heroic figure that you had in movies. Okay? Think of a female figure that you had in written literature. All right, I know some of you guys are thinking, Nancy Drew. True, she could figure it out. Nancy Drew, she would own Encyclopedia Brown. Okay? Some of you guys didn't read books. You have no idea that joke. It's a good one, too. Think about it. Think about how movies and television and art that's painted and put out absolutely influences us. So let me just jump into this. What does culture teach us about art? And notice, we sitting in here with our beautiful colors, our beautiful shapes, our beautiful sizes, our different weights, our different intellects, our different talents and abilities, we are God's art. We're God's art sitting in here. You guys are starting to see the connection. You're like, oh, wow, I get. He's talking about race and he's talking about beauty because we are God's art. He made us. He talented us. He gifted us. But what does culture say to us? There's tension there. Okay? But let's just for fun talk about art for a second. What does culture teach us about art? Now, here's some fun ones. You guys will have some of your own list. I get it. But see if you guys can finish this one. I think you guys will have this, right? Beauty's in the eye of the... All right. Okay, you guys got that one. All right, that was the only one that you guys would be able to answer. So the rest of them, there, I'm just kind of putting some things. To get attention in art, you have to be outlandish. Have you noticed that? To get attention in art, you have to what? You got to be crazy. Okay? When it comes to art in television and in movies and... how quickly can a problem be solved? In 30 minutes, an hour, in 2 hours, right? So what problem in life can be solved that fast, right? Some of you guys, you grew up watching the television show Friends, and we should just have a time period praying for you. Friends taught you a lot of bad things about human relationships, like really bad things. And it taught you... Friends taught you that the men were dumb and a couple of the women were smart and one woman was really dumb. You guys picked up on where I'm going there, right? But what they could do is they could sleep together and they could lie to each other and they could hide things from each other and they could do all this stuff. But at the end, the last 20 minutes, they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I was on a break. Some of you guys, again, get that joke. Still sore. That is so funny. I hear people turning the podcast off right now. Okay, so all problems can be solved really fast, right? Some problems take an entire generation. Some problems take 2 generations, 3 generations. Some problems don't ever get solved. And that creates an enviness inside of us that wants it solved quickly, and then somehow we feel like, last night, I was making microwave popcorn, and I read it. It was from Kirkland, from Costco, some of the best microwave popcorn you can get. And on the package, it says, put it in for 1 minute and 45 seconds. I'm thinking, that seems really short. I thought it was 3 minutes when I was younger as a kid, okay? I said, no, put it in, 1 minute 45. So I put it in for 1 minute 45, and I watched it. It didn't pop. I was upset because I gave away 1 minute and 45 seconds of my life. So I went up by 30 seconds, so I did another 30 seconds. Well, the problem is once you let the heat dissipate, you got to bring the heat back up. So I'm just 30 seconds. It took me 5 minutes to make a bag of popcorn. So I threw it away. Started with another bag of popcorn because Costco, you get like 80 of them. And I'm an American. I waste. So I put another one in. And I'm like, we're going 3 minutes. I'm going to watch that. So But what I want you guys to understand is in our microwave mentality, we want things fixed quickly. And some of the things that we're going to have to fix, we're going to have to stay in for a long period of time, and we're going to have to stand together with each other. Some of us, racially, I want to give permission to each and every person here inside this room. I don't care what color you are. I don't care if you're male or if you're female. I don't care if you're tall or short, old or young. Inside of you, you will have an emotional feeling when you come into a situation that you don't feel safe. You don't feel safe. You just don't feel safe. And I want to validate that in you guys. I have driven through white neighborhoods where I have not felt safe. Not felt safe. It was in Monterey, 17-mile drive, billionaire homes. I am not driving a billionaire car. They know it. I don't feel safe. I have driven through Compton, through Watts. Didn't feel safe. Okay? I've driven to the west side, and I have driven through a group of people that they were up to no good. Didn't feel safe. Got invited by a pastor to come down to the south side. I said, yeah, I'll come. He goes, do you know where this is? I'm like, yeah, I know where it is. It's a really high number. It's very south. And he was like, do you know who you are? And I'm like, yeah, I know who I am. Do people hate you in this neighborhood? Because if I'm standing next to you, at least they'll leave me alone. But yeah. So whoever you are, there's going to come a situation where you don't feel safe. Have you ever been walking on a street and a group of people are coming towards you and they're bigger than you and they're louder than you? What part of you wanted to cross the other side of the street? Now, I know some of you guys, you're just stubborn. I know you guys. You went right at them, pushed them apart, and wouldn't walk through. You're like, you get out of my way. Okay? Everybody who's underneath 5'6", that's what you're doing. Proving yourself. What I want you guys to understand is that natural mechanism of not feeling safe isn't necessarily tied to race. Sometimes it's tied to the character of the individuals that you're looking at. And they just happen to be wearing certain clothes, and they just happen to be wearing a certain skin tone. My wife tells me of a story. She's downtown. She comes back to me. She's even paler than she normally is. She says, Nathan, the Chicago mob is real. I said, what do you mean? Because I was at a friend's house. I get out of the apartment. I come down, and this super rich car pulls up, stops in the middle of the street. Now, you know that's gangster in Chicago, right? Because at least in Chicago, we all know if you turn your hazards on, you can do anything, right? This person didn't even put on their hazards. Boom, right in the park. Got out. Three-piece suit. Looking fly. Probably 300 pounds. Boutonniere, rose, flower on their lapel. Who wears one of those? And if it's not a wedding, right? Gangster. Okay? Comes over, says hi to Danielle. Did Danielle feel safe? No. Did not feel safe at all. The person shared the same skin tone as Danielle. Does that make Danielle racist? No. It means that she realized this individual is not safe. Now, does that mean all individuals that have that skin color are not safe? No. Don't let media mess with you. Don't let media tell you that you're supposed to blanketly accept everything. No, 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 no. By the way, that's what culture's trying to teach you. Culture's trying to teach you that. Don't buy the lie. Do not shut off your unique ability internally inside of you. Whatever you, if you watched Pinocchio, your little Jiminy Cricket going, this is not safe. We're not going there. Don't turn that off. Be aware of it. The culture wants you to shut it off. They'll mock you if you say that you feel unsafe. Okay? Art is used to mock the establishment. I love SNL. SNL mocks everything. One of these days, they need to start mocking themselves if they can start owning it, but that would be great. The other thing, too, about art is art pushes boundaries. Art pushes boundaries, and art steps over boundaries and goes, oops. This year, we had a comedian who stepped over the boundary, took a picture of a decapitated president, doesn't understand that no matter who the sitting president is of the United States of America, you cannot make threats against the individual. That is a law in the United States of America. Graciously, the person got away with it because they're dumb, but they should be in jail. You should not be able to do that. We do have rules, and we have systems set up so that we can function as a society, but we need comedians to poke fun at our leaders. We absolutely need Stephen Colbert. We absolutely need John Oliver. We absolutely need these people. And in a lot of ways, they were quiet for 8 years, so they need to own their silence. And now they've just gotten loud for 2 years. They need to admit their bias. But we still need their comedy. And they can goof around with it. The other thing is that art controls people and tells them what to think. Art controls people and tells them what to think. I want to let you guys know, you guys are controlled by art. You are. I'm controlled by art. When we used to have the mural up, I hated it. It was not good art. So we covered the art with black backdrop. But then I realized it was too dark. So then we had art put up because it needs to be aesthetically, it needs to look good. And then we have art over here. So I love art. I love it. Some of you guys are like me. This morning took you a little while to figure out what to wear. Went through a couple ideas. Well, if I do that, then I have to, and I, you know, it could be Arctic. I need to be able to be ready for a volcano or for Antarctica when I go to church. I gotta have options. Okay? But art controls the way you think. Follow with me for a second. Okay? What is art? It's music. It's drawing. It's photographs. It's sculpture. Okay? It's movies, television, and books. Now, and it continues on. Okay, it continues on. Art is a lot of stuff. But it tells you what to think and it controls you. Okay, some of you guys are going to laugh when I share this and I'm not going to explain it. Okay, but I was controlled as a little kid and I didn't realize it. Because I needed to relax. Don't do it. Yeah, yeah. Okay, some of you guys that don't understand, I'm not explaining it. Okay, but what I want you to understand is that you are influenced, whether you believe it or not. Some of you guys are singing songs right now that are telling you, you know, Ed Sheeran, oh, I like the smell of you. I met you at a bar. Now you're in my bed. My sheets smell like you. Woo, I like the shape of who you are. And it's cool. Okay, Ed Sheeran's got a sweet, awesome voice, and he's neat to look at. He's fun. Okay? He's fun. Okay? He's redheaded and he's really kind of pale and freckled. He's fun. He sings. He's great. I love it. Okay? Not putting the guy down. Okay? But recognize some of the songs that you're singing in your head and how it influences you. All right? I grew up on NWA. Some of you guys don't know what that is. Good. All right. Point number one, if you're taking notes, and Yoshard, if you're taking notes, I've already said a lot of things that are really important. Point number one. Some of you guys are thinking, no, you haven't. That's messed up, man. Point number one, be wise. Art has the power to move you emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Be wise. Have you ever seen you two up on stage playing and everybody with their hands raised? Some of you guys were just at the Coldplay concert. It was a worship service. That was a worship service. Humans are designed to worship. We will raise ourselves and put it. Bears fans, they haven't worshiped in a long time. Okay, but they still go. They go to the temple. Okay, Cubs fans, they're worshiping now. They love it. Sox fans, you're more in a lamentations time period. You're going to make it through. Okay, but you're going to worship. Art has been used for propaganda to reshape people's thoughts and beliefs. My grandparents, it's really interesting, and I'm going to talk about racism for a second. I'm going to be really honest. My grandparents were taught to hate Japanese and to hate Germans. Do you know who taught them that? United States of America. United States of America in the 1930s and the 1940s did a massive push to create anger and distrust and violence inside of the hearts of Americans so they would sign up to go to war to go fight a people group that needed to be destroyed. The problem was for my grandparents, okay, and for my Japanese friends in here, I apologize. I'm going to use the word that he used. He would use the word Jap. And I would say, Dad or Grandpa, they're Japanese. And he would recognize that the training that he had been habitualized with the heart of a Christian man, with the intelligence of the war being over for 25 years, he was still struggling because how he was programmed. And how rude is America? How rude is America that we train a group of people, an entire generation to hate, and then we judge them 30 years later? Think about it. Who taught them to hate? Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam. Who is Uncle Sam teaching you to hate right now? Russians? Chinese? Pay attention. Pay attention to culture. Who is Uncle Sam teaching you to hate? Canadians? It's always Canada. You know why it's Canada? Because they're not going to do anything. They're the easy country to pick on. Okay? We even stole hockey from them. We took their national sport from them. And they have not done anything. They're just standing at the like right at the border, and they're like, You know? That's all they got. I can't even say the word because it's wrong, but just follow. All right. So the U.S. used propaganda to fight in World War II. Think of how film and propaganda has been teaching you since you've been a kid. I was just having fun, and I was looking through movies when I was younger. And what did movies in the 1980s teach you? Movies in the 1980s. Now, television show in the 1980s, it was really hard, okay? But what the television in the 1980s taught us that Bill Cosby had a really awesome family, and he could sit and he could talk to anybody, and kids would listen, and they would understand if parents would just communicate it in the right way. That's not real life. And Bill Cosby has since changed. We have to be careful of that conversation. But in the 1980s, the enemies in film and television were the Russians, gangsters, and aliens. So in the 1980s, there's other ones, because Chuck Norris was kicking everybody. But it's just mainly there, okay? In the 1990s, the major enemies in film and television were the government. 1990s, the government comes really big. Okay, Nazis, they came back. Okay, still gangsters and aliens. Okay, we don't like aliens. All right, in the 2000s, now you guys are starting to play the game with me. Okay, these are the enemies, the 2000s. Who are the major enemies in the 2000s? Okay, yeah, aliens. They're in everyone. Okay, it's great. Okay, terrorists, 2000 terrorists. And they were mainly with British accents because we hate the British, apparently. Okay. But what's funny is they've come back again, and they all drive Jaguars. So it's just, they're really bad. Zombies. So the undead, they came back in the 2000s. That was a big one. And then aliens. Okay? So terrorists, zombies, aliens. Okay, what about lately, the last 7 years? What have the enemies been in film and TV? Who are the enemies? Well, still terrorists, right? And where are the terrorists from? It's very interesting. Not very much the Middle East. They avoid it. They avoid the terrorists in the Middle East. Do you know why? Because the Middle East has money and they won't fund the Hollywood studios. So pay attention. They won't give their money. Like, nope, you don't fund that. Okay? 2010, the enemies in film and television were terrorists, zombies, government, aliens, and please laugh, winter. All right, point number two. Point number one was be wise. Art and the power to move you has the power to move you emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Two is whatever your ear has your ear. And your eye has your heart. Whatever has your ear and your eye has your heart. The music you listen to, the television shows you watch, the magazines that you read, the books that you read. Okay, it's okay. Jane Austen, I get it. It's amazing. But she did not write a history novel. She wrote about a fictitious belief of how she thought women should be treated in the time period, which is great. You have a female heroine at that point in time. But that is not a representation of the time period. Matthew 6:22 says this, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you, darkness, how great is the darkness?" Okay? In other words, the conversation is with Jesus, and Jesus is the light. And Jesus is saying, if you're looking at me and I'm the light and I'm in you, how good is your life? But if you're looking at something else, guess what's in you? What you were looking at. That's in you now. And Jesus is saying, are you looking at me? He's having a conversation with them. Are you looking at me? When you look at that passage in Matthew 6, he continues on. He talks about that you don't put light underneath something. You don't cover it. You don't hide it. Light is meant to expose and to bring the ability to see. And Jesus is saying, I want to bring the ability to see inside of you so you can see the truth. But what are you filling yourself up with? Proverbs 15, 30 through 33 says this. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart. The good news refreshes the bones. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise, and whoever ignores instruction despises himself. But he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. The fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor. When we look at art, one of the things that we have to jump back into is we need to jump back into Proverbs. We need to jump back into wisdom. We need to look back and see what other people were already saying. And one of the major things and themes that Proverbs deals with is companions. Who are the people and things that you travel through life with? Now, they mainly focus on relationships. I'm tying in things. Who are your friendships? Are your friendships on TV? That's why Friends did so well for so long. It was a lot of people's friendships. They tied in, they watched it, they observed, and they felt close to these individuals. Maybe it's Big Bang Theory right now. That's the one of the highest ranked television shows besides football. Okay? So football dominates America when it comes to viewership. Absolutely destroys it. But then underneath it, it's Big Bang Theory, and then it's CSI, name the city, name the city, name the city, name the city. Okay? You guys following what I'm trying to say? Who are your companions that you walk with? Point number three. Whatever or whoever you spend your time with shapes you. And that's what I'm tying it into. What you spend time with shapes you. Video games, television shows, magazines. Okay, even if you walk in the Art Institute and you spend all of your time in there, you will be shaped by what you see. You will decide what beauty is based upon the sculpture that you're looking at. Not understanding some of the background that they accentuated parts of the body and they hid other parts of the body on purpose. But you will look at it and you'll think, wow, that's beauty. And why do you think that's beauty? Well, because that has been held up for the last 1,000 years is that's what beauty is. Apparently a girl with no shoulders, standing, pasty white, hot. Okay? You guys following what I'm trying to say? From the proverb above, it tells us some key things. It tells us to pay attention and to be wise. It tells us to be ready for discipline, and it tells us to be reproved. Let me help you out right now. If you struggle being disciplined and you struggle being corrected, you struggle being a Christian. Why? Because the more you're a Christian, the more you realize, yeah, I didn't do that right. The more you're a Christian, you recognize that even on your best day, you still weren't that good. And someone can come up to you and say, you know, hey, Pastor Nathan, you really could have preached that sermon a little bit better. And the truth is, yeah, I could have. That's pretty much always true. Nathan, you could have written that email better. Yeah, I really could have. You could have said that better in a conversation. Yeah, I could have. I could have tweeted better. Yeah, I could have. And so what I asked for is grace. That's how I started out in the beginning of the sermon. We need to give each other grace, because if someone's honestly trying, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Let's stop slamming them down. If you're in a marriage and you're having a conversation and your spouse is trying to say something to you and it's deep and it's painful and it hurts them, there's no way in the world on the first try they're going to say it right. There's no way. And you've got to have that relationship and that friendship to sit with them and let them say it wrong again and again. And again, as they develop the ability to shape their feelings and their thoughts and to put them to words so they can share where they're really at. Sit there. And if you're the one sharing and the person, you say, you know what I mean? And the person goes, no, I have no clue. You cried for the whole thing. And I don't know what those words were. Can you say it again? Don't be angry. They gave you good feedback. Try again. Okay? Proverbs 15:22 says this, without counsel, plans fail. but with many advisors, they succeed. I have a question for you. Who's helping you come up with your plans? Okay? Who's helping you with your plans? America says that in order for you to be successful, you need to put away at least $4 million in retirement. That's the new number. Okay? Some of you guys are way behind. Not me. I'm almost there. Almost there. Okay? No, I'm nowhere near. But who told you that? Remember? Remember me preaching that? Who told you that? If God is sovereign and he's going to take care of you, and he wrote that he's in charge of the grass, he's in charge of the birds, he's in charge of everything on this earth, why are you worried about you? But I am. I'm worried. Anybody else in here worried? I'm worried. It was great during the eclipse. I totally scared my entire neighborhood. The eclipse is going on, and I'm standing in the backyard. Got one neighbor over here. Got some really loud construction workers next door. And I'm standing outside, and it's time for the eclipse, and it goes over, and it kind of darkens down, and I scream, it's the end of the world. Yeah, I see that face, Joseph. Joseph's like, that's just wrong. So I'm yelling, it's the end of the world! And I've got a buddy neighbor, and he just looks at me, and he goes, it's really scary when a pastor yells that. Well played. Well played. It's not the end of the world. But how many times does the news scream it's the end of the world? Two Navy ships have been hit by other ships. It's the end of our Navy. Our Navy is out of control. We need to get rid of all of our Navy. All of the captains and admirals and everybody who's in awe, they need to be fired. What if they were yelling at the other ship, you're going to hit us. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Bam. You hit us. Right? Maybe that captain needs to be fired. But what does our news say? Our news says our military is out of control. What does our news say? Our news says that this is out of control. I remember a couple years ago, there was a panic because America was running short on bacon. I remember talking to a friend who has tears in his eyes. How are we going to make it? We're going to feed more pigs. It's simple. And we'll kill them. And we'll get more bacon. We're going to be okay. Who are you allowing to counsel you? Are you hanging out with scared people who are anxious and scared and you're feeding each other's fear? I hope not. If you are, stop. Proverbs 6, 27 through 28. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes and not be burned? This is talking about an affair. This is talking about adultery. It's talking about, can you hang out in areas that's unsafe and you're about to cross the line relationally, emotionally, physically? Okay? You're about to cross the line. Can you hold it close to you and not get burned? Some of you guys have emotional affairs with the television shows you're watching. You're not real to your marriage. You feel more connection to the person that you're watching that, oh, by the way, is fictitious and doesn't exist, and it took them 8 hours to shoot that scene with tons of writers. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes and not be burned? Or can he walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? I had to stop watching CNN when I was really struggling with anxiety and fear. I had to stop watching it. I couldn't watch it. I'd turn it on. Everything's falling apart. I love turning on the nightly news, NBC. I love listening to them, and they tell me all the things that are falling apart in Chicago. And it's hilarious. It's always Rauner's fault. Good old Bruce. Because before he came, Chicago was doing great. No. 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 Okay? Proverbs 13:20. Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companions of fools will suffer harm. Whoever walks with the wise will be wise. Whoever walks with fools will do be in harm. Now, don't get me wrong. Okay, just listen. I used to watch Jack Butt, the movies when they came out, and some of you guys know what I'm talking about, okay? Hilarious. Hilarious. Then two came out too far. One, hilarious. Two, too far. Had to push the envelope. Three, I have no idea what they're doing now. They're probably on eight. I don't want to know what they're doing. Okay? Like just joking with a friend and send them to space with no food. Laugh at them on video. But you need to have some fun in your life. I'm not saying don't have fun. But what I am saying is if you have constant fill of one-sided information, who are you going to be? You have constant fill of one-sided information, who are you going to be? I know what I'm going to be. I'm going to be a sports watcher. Just a couch potato watching sports, yelling at someone to check the mic, look at the blocker, all that dumb stuff. It's not going to matter for anything. My wife asked me one time, she's like, why do you watch so many sports? I said, because it usually doesn't get me emotionally in trouble. It doesn't teach me how to misbehave. I will never be in a situation where I'm lined up against 11 other people trying to move a ball. I'm too tiny. It's not going to happen. Okay? Some of you guys need to pay attention to what you're watching and what you're putting in and what you're allowing to fill you. Okay? True. Proverbs 29:11. Through 12, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. If a ruler listens to falsehood, all of his officials will be wicked. Who do you listen to again? Do you just mouth off and say whatever you want to say? Do you ever just put whatever you want up on Facebook? Do you throw something on Facebook because you like the attention? Are you a muckraker? You like to create problems? Do you just like it when there's tension in the room? Are you one of those individuals when there's not tension, you need to bring tension? Okay? Some of us grew up that way. That's how we felt love. That's how we felt alive. If there wasn't an argument, we didn't feel like life was going on. Some of us are the opposite. If there's the slightest bit of tension, we run for the hills. Neither are healthy. We got to look at that. We got to be able to deal with some of those things that are going on. And art presses in on us with the way that we respond to things. I love reading Wired Magazine. Wired Magazine has a very technology left viewpoint. And it was talking about Google. And it was going through some of the things with Google, but it actually had a really beautiful moment where it started talking about how Google is becoming authoritarian and controlling. You think? Okay. Facebook, by the way, authoritarian and controlling. It controls what comes up and what you see. It controls what goes into your newsfeed. I had a couple friends, I wasn't seeing anything coming up. I had to go find it. I guess that Facebook didn't want me to like them anymore. I don't know. Pay attention to the things that are going on. Again, pay attention to what it is that you're taking in. Now, last night, some of you guys fight. You're really tired right now. You did not get any sleep. Some of you guys heard there was a fight. Okay? But sometimes if you're an angry person who gets physical and gets rough, don't watch fights. Does that make sense? If you're a person who gets your feelings hurt really easily and you take on the emotions of other people, don't watch dramas. Definitely don't watch Marley and Me. Okay? The dog dies. Twice. No. Actually, in my house, this film has played so many times, this dog has died like 15 times. All right. Number four, to deal with art, be in Christ. So I'm not telling you just to avoid it. That's not what I'm saying. That's not the sermon. It's not what I'm preaching. Some of you guys hear that. Don't dance. Don't drink. Don't smile. Don't be friends with someone that's not the color of you. Don't. That's not Christianity. Not Christianity. Whoever taught you that, Christianity is be in Christ, be in Christ, be in Christ, be in Christ. What should I do? Be in Christ. This week we were studying, it was our Bible study. Some of those people here on Wednesday night, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, we read this. I know all the answers. And it's true. You do. But follow along. Okay? I'm going to read 1 Corinthians first, then I'm going to go to Colossians. 1 Corinthians says this. All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. Okay? Talk about marijuana for a moment, okay? Something that grows naturally in the ground is illegal. You think God would have figured that out, okay? Now, is there a positive use to it? Yes, but some of you, you don't need to use it. Following what I'm trying to say? Okay, I see some amens, some people in there. You don't need to use it. You're already so laid back, people will think you're in a coma. Nothing will get done. Not okay. Not okay. But some of you, it will be appropriate when done correctly. Okay, same thing. Watch sports when done correctly. Watch dramas when done correctly. Read books when done correctly. That's what I'm trying to teach you guys. Okay, each of you is unique. Each of you has a different tolerance in different areas. Use it wisely. Okay, Colossians 2, 6 through 23. Therefore, whenever it says therefore, you got to ask, what in the world are you talking about? Let me bring you up to speed. Paul writes to the church in Colossae. He says, Christ is supreme. Christ is in charge. Christ has everything. And because Christ has covered everything and because Christ has done everything, you're okay. Stop trying to prove your worth. Now I'm attacking envy. See where I'm going now? Started out with envy, trying to prove who you are, trying to make yourself more superior. Christ is superior. You're not. And here comes Paul. He's swinging around. He says, therefore, as you have received Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. If you've received Jesus your Lord, walk in him. How do we walk in him? Well, he answers it. He says, walk in him by being rooted and built up in him. Rooted. What are you rooted in? Are you rooted in Kelly and it used to be Kelly and Regis, Kelly and Strahan, Kelly and who's the newest one? Okay, Kelly Ripa. Some of you guys don't even know that. That's sad. Okay. But don't be rooted in the Today Show. Don't be rooted in ESPN Sports Center. Don't be rooted in NPR. Don't be rooted in that. Be rooted in Christ. Don't be built up by, be built up by Christ. Okay? Be established in your faith just as you were taught, abounding with thanksgiving. When was the last time you were abounding with thanksgiving? Right when I end the sermon and I bring the worship team up, you start to abound with thanksgiving. You're like, it's over. Yes. Okay? A couple more minutes. Verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit. See to it that this city, this culture doesn't take you over. Go back to the truth. Go back to Christ. Go back to what Jesus is saying. Okay? Don't be taken over according to human tradition. Don't be according to the elemental spirits of the world, demonic, and not according to Christ. So in other words, if it's against what Christ says, it's definitely wrong. It goes back to Jesus. For in him, Jesus, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And if you have been filled in him, who is the head and the rule of authority, by the way, if God gave Jesus to be the head and the rule of authority, were you made wrong? Were you born into the wrong family? Were you given the wrong IQ? Were you given the wrong skill set? No, God is sovereign. He put you right where he wanted to put you. Maybe you're angry at God. Fair. Okay? Verse 11, he goes into circumcision. He says, in you, you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body by flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. In other words, you have been marked and you have been established and you have been set apart as someone who is with God. Okay? Circumcision at that point in time was a physical marking said that you were this way with this group. Okay? Today, maybe tribal tattoos, you know, you're with that group. Okay? Or beards, you're with that group. Okay? Because having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. What Paul is saying is because you've been put with Christ, because you've been buried with Christ, because you've been raised with Christ, you don't have to be afraid and you don't have to deal with this racism issue. You don't have to be afraid. You're okay. You can speak the truth in love because right now our culture is saying speak the truth in anger and violence. Not okay. When did the ability to have a civil disagreement and discourse and an actual conversation end in the United States of America? Why are we going to violence? Why are we showing up with bats, with shields, with helmets? That's not okay. Not okay at all. It says, and you who were dead in your trespasses, in In other words, you who have nothing to offer to God, you who are completely flawed, you who cannot create your salvation, you who cannot improve your standing, you who absolutely are inferior on the floor of grace with everyone else, how are you better? What are you going to offer to God? Because God made alive together with him, having forgiven all of our trespasses. Yeah. God is forgiving those people that were in Virginia, both groups. Yes, one's more wrong. They're both wrong. If you've ever been a parent and you have two kids, you're like, yeah, this one started it. Why did you bring a bat? Like, come on. You have those conversations. It's tough. What did he do? Verse 14, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us and its legal demands. This he set aside by nailing it to the cross. Verse 15, he disarmed the rulers and the authorities and he put them to shame by triumphing over them in him. Jesus. That's who we need. That's what we need to be praying for. That's what we need to be asking for. We don't need another tax on more sodas. We don't need a tax on air in Chicago, okay? We don't need a tax on how many feet you walk in a day. We don't need that. We need Jesus. And we need Jesus to be alive in you and in me as we walk through our day. We need Jesus. We need more people with Jesus. We need more people who will stand in front of our brothers and sisters who are being hated and will stand there and we won't fight. Yeah, we may get beaten. We may get punched. We may get arrested. We may get trampled. But we will do it peacefully and we will stand and we will do it with honor and integrity. That's who we got to be. When someone's being disrespectful, someone's being sexist, someone's being racist, someone's being rude, someone is being a bully, we will stand and say, hey, stop. And yes, that may mean some uncomfortableness. That may mean injury and pain, but we will stand up. Why? Because Christ stood up for us. But we will stand up like him. We will sacrifice our lives for it. 16, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink or in regards to festival, a new moon, or Sabbath, and I'll put in what television show you watch, what movie you watch, what book you read. Okay? Does it make you more holy or less holy? These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and the worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind and not holding fast to the head from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. What Paul is saying is, if it's not about Jesus and if somebody's not preaching Jesus to you and someone's not pointing you to Jesus, they're pointing you to the wrong place. That's what he's saying. I'm telling you right now, we need to be pointed towards Jesus. We need to get into a prayer posture and say, Lord Jesus, come. Verse 20, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if it were still alive in the world, do you submit to its regulations? If you're free in Christ and Christ has saved you, why are you scared? That's for me. I get nervous sometimes. I don't want to. Verse 21, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that will perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. For me, as I told you, as a kid growing up, do not dance. Why? The Bible says don't dance. No, it doesn't. Don't drink. Where does it say don't drink? It says don't be drunk. It says don't make stupid decisions. It says don't be sauced or a little bit squishy when you drink. Don't do it. Make bad decisions. 23. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body. But they are no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Now, let me just pause right here and bring it back. Culture wants you not to choose Christ. Culture wants you to choose everything else but Jesus. Culture wants you to take a pill. Culture wants you to seek pleasure. Culture doesn't want you to sit and figure out why it is that you feel inferior, why it is that you feel broken. Culture doesn't want you to be fixed. Culture wants your money. What does Jesus want? Jesus wants to love you, wants to comfort you. Jesus wants to care for you. Jesus wants to walk with you. Jesus wants to spend time with you. And Jesus wants to invite you into his presence if you would allow him. And the truth is, I'm scared of being in his presence, right? Culture tells me I should be scared of God because God's going to send me to Africa. God's going to send me to China. God's going to send me to the Middle East. I'm going to invite the worship team up. And this is where we're going to pray. I'd like you guys to stand together for a second. I want you to pray for someone else in the room right now. I don't want you to walk over. I don't want you to embarrass them. I don't want you to walk up on them. But I want you to pray that they would feel secure in Christ. I want you to pray that the insecurity and the envy and the fear that we feel would be destroyed in Christ. I want us to recognize the beauty that we have inside of this room. And I want us to protect it as best we can. But how do we protect it? We protect it in Christ. That our unity is in Christ. That's where it's at. Okay, it's not in our political affiliation. It's not in our income. It's not in the neighborhood that we live in. It's in Christ. So again, just take a moment and pray. Pray that God would be glorified in each person's life here in this room. Because all of us feel insecure. All of us feel a bit nervous, a little bit worried. We know Chicago could blow up in a heartbeat. Okay, we're all aware of it. And we're asking, Lord Jesus, come. So pray with me. Heavenly Father, you are the answer. You have always been the answer. And you will always continue to be the answer. Forgive us, God, for looking to other places for the answer. But let us confess right now that we're scared. We're scared because when we look at our talents and our abilities and our gifts and our strengths, we recognize somebody stronger and bigger can come and take it from us. And so, God, we come to you and we just ask you to protect us. We ask you to protect our neighbor. We ask you to protect our friend. We ask you to protect our fellow believer sitting here in this room. And we ask, God, that you would give us opportunities to show your love. That as the world and culture preaches love conquers hate, that we would actually show them what true love is. And we would be that example for your glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen.